Well, hello, new you maniacs. Welcome back to the Spinner Rack here at Season 5 of the Marvel New Universe Comics Podcast, the voice of the new universe. We're your hosts,
Andy with Justice number 28 and
Steven, with another backup story.
your backup duty today.
Yeah, I checked the schedule. I think I've done the last three backup stories for some reason.
It's what we found you're best at.
Just worked out that way. The new universe was launched in 1986 as an imprint from Marvel Comics, dedicated to a more grounded, less fantastic approach to comics. The original idea was the world outside your window, and it included real-time progress. The new universe has changed a lot in 2 years, and now we are headed into 1989. The world knows about paranormals, and the US government has started capturing and drafting them into the Army and CIA. Pittsburgh has been destroyed, forming the Pit, and creating new, sometimes twisted paranormals. Only a few issues remain for each surviving series, and they all seem to be headed towards war.
Four.
With our podcast, you can follow along with us each week as we go through each remaining comic in the order they hit the spinner rack, or just check out individual comics if you already have a favorite. You can also find us over at our website, kickersinc.com, where we are bound and determined to provide you with fun stuff that is new universe adjacent. And we can also be found over on X at Kickers Inc., where we try to notify you of the upcoming episodes on before release.
Right. And this week we get back to Justice. Having had his life almost destroyed by a powerful paranormal, John Tenson dubbed himself Justice and gave himself a mission to travel the land, find other paranormals, and judge whether or not they're using their powers properly. And for this issue, we've got Justice 28. Justice forms an alliance of convenience with the Medusa Web to rescue the Psi-Force kids from the Siberian Project. But what is Justice's real reason for joining the rescue mission? Written by Peter David, drawn by Lee Weeks. Not really. 32 pages, Mando offset paper, direct sales, $1.50. Notably, if that intro sounds interesting, like their story is really only the last sentence. What is Justice's real reason for joining the rescue mission? Unfortunately, we don't get the rescue mission or Lee Weeks.
We do get the Medusa web.
Yeah,
Uh,
a little bit.
and I'll assume this is Mando paper, although I don't really have a way to test that.
Yeah, the Mando test strips are coming in the mail, but they haven't arrived yet from Temu.
So we will also be discussing the backup story starring Medusa Webb and Jake Travis. And maybe we'll have a chance to talk about this massive crossover as it goes.
Maybe. All right, Justice 28. Whether this cover is kind of cool or kind of bad, I'm not 100% sure, but it's just Justice's head. There is his bust on the cover with a really angry face and glowing eyes. But it kind of looks like he's cradling a tiny bed with his daughter in it, and he's going to eat it a little bit. Like it's just like a hot dog eating contest champion, it's going in there.
it's a very nice like emotive picture. Good work from it. That at least is by Lee Weeks. I think it was kind of a grabber. Like we had both sort of noticed it when we were putting our collections together, so.
It looks good. It's just like it doesn't quite evoke what I think he wanted, was like Justice freaking out and angry about the state of his daughter instead, and with all these flames and the angry eyes and stuff. It just doesn't quite
Yeah, it does
put it
make it look like
together.
he's hungry. Yeah, that's the emotion that I'm reading off of it.
But this is a February 89 issue, though likely came out November 8th, 1988.
So,
Strap in,
just
it's
a quick
all.
note
Oh,
that
good.
so that was probably the election day.
Oh, yeah, good call. Yeah.
that DP7 was talking about last week. So,
Wonder
yeah,
how
and this
many
is.
readers voted.
Hope you all got out there, but.
Did anyone write in Philip Nolan Voigt, I wonder? Maybe one person did, maybe. Anyway, as I was going to say, strap in, it's all downhill from here.
Wah,
But yeah, this is Peter David again as writer, Mike Gustavich as art, and just art, so pencils and inks,
yeah.
assumingly.
So he'd done that a couple of issues ago, I remember, but I think it was a little smoother then. I didn't even notice it wasn't Lee Weeks at first.
Yeah, but so last time, we finally figured out what Justice's daughter Angie's powers were, and she can bring things and people and animals back to life for a short period to kind of do her will to a degree. And she used that to escape Quill. So Justice was supposed to meet up with Quill, who's holding his daughter for ransom and probably was going to kill her. But he never showed up because she ended up essentially saving herself with an army of zombies, who just piled in and killed Quill. It was a fantastic, final bit of that story. And like the two-page spread of like the undead coming after the guy was pretty epic. So, well, that's where we left off at least. And so we pick up in a hospital. So the doctor coming into a hospital room kind of looks at his chart, looks at the IV bag, and then we hear a voice from off to the side. That's it? That's all you're doing for her? The doctor with the mustache is like, I beg your pardon? The patient is doing as well as can be expected. Is there something you think I've forgotten? And then like a hand comes out from off screen, well, off panel, and like grabs him in the throat with a scrunch, which I mean, he probably didn't just crush the guy's trachea, right? And then we open to the next page, which is the splash page. It says, you forgot to look at your patient. So we get Justice.
And give her a sponge bath.
Yes. Justice looking like he's going to do the Undertaker choke slam. I
Yeah.
am Justice. And from here on in, no more Mr. Nice Guy. It's like, you were never Mr. Nice Guy.
It's
That's your whole shtick. And then the insight in the title of the book is Psy, PSI, anxiety. But yeah, so basically Justice is pissed that, he's like, you looked at your chart, you looked at her RV, but you didn't look at her. He's like choking this guy. He's like, she could be dead and you wouldn't notice. And of course the doctor's like just down on the ground. He's like, you're a lunatic, I'll have you thrown out. He's like, try it, since this is a hospital. You'll be set up to treat the casualties, what's left of them. So, like, is he upset about his daughter or is he just calculating his zingers? Good question. But the doctor makes a run for it and he's like, he's gone, Angela. And then we finally see Angela and she's kind of just lying in the hospital bed with her eyes open. But it kind of looks like she's just comatose, like staring into space. And he's kind of talking to her. He's like, tell me something, tell me what happened to the cemetery. What turned you into this? And then we get like the first of this comic cuts back and forth in time a little bit without really ever notifying us.
Right.
This one is pretty clear, because we see her as the police arrive after last issue in the cemetery where the final showdown was. Like groundskeeper Willie is there. He's like, I don't know what happened. Just the groundskeeper for pity's sake.
Can do
So
my
they kind of,
Scottish grin.
yeah, I can't do the Scottish accent. So he's pointing and like Angie's kind of sitting there, feet in the grave, like leaned up against a tombstone. The car's all piled up with bodies and like, who would dig up a bunch of bodies and stuff them in a limo? I mean, it's sick. Maybe the stiffs just came up by themselves and hopped in for a ride. The police grab Angie, and again, like the drawing of her is kind of weird, like just like big head but minimal face. Like something about it's just off from what she usually looks like. And he's like, obviously, the one who'd know is this young lady, but she's still in some sort of shock. It's like, come on, miss, if this is an act, now's the time. But yeah, and then we get. a page of these two dudes. Like, I'm not sure. They're just
I don't
regular
even, yeah, no,
dressed
like
guys.
they're not like dressed like ambulance people, but maybe they're other cemetery assistants. I don't even,
Yeah, I
yeah.
don't know. But yeah, we don't really know. Just two random guys, and you can see him holding Quill. And they're like, well, he's at least less dead and stinky compared to the other guy. They pull the dead cat out of Angie's handbag, the one that had kind of,
Figaro.
Figaro, who had come back to life a bunch of times, though we didn't quite pick up on that.
Yeah, I guess that I mean I forget. I think it kind of said last issue, but yeah, that she had found him in a trash, and so it whatever she always it always seemed strange. So here it's confirmed that the cat was dead all along. I'm kind of surprised that he doesn't somehow stay with her for another issue, but okay.
But yeah, we don't know like how she like turns it on and off, I guess. Like, is it a proximity thing or like an
I
emotional
imagine,
response? And then, yeah, top of page 7, have you ever seen a vehicle that looks like this ambulance here? Like, it's just a really strange van.
may have been like a child's toy that was an ambulance that was used as reference or
the
something.
Hot
I don't
Wheels
know.
ambulance, yeah.
Yeah.
It's just that it, for whatever reason, it throws me off. Well, we cut back to the hospitals, and presumably, yeah, it looks like this is them like taking Angie to the hospital. And we check back in with Victor Pasco, or Kleenex, who had kind of been developing a relationship with her. As hospital workers do, you say, hey, do you know this person? They've been checked into the hospital. Different time, maybe. He's like, hey,
Yeah.
they brought in a young woman. I believe you know her. It's like, young woman? I don't know any women. She's
I
like, I
think
think she.
he, yeah, like this nurse actually doesn't get much credit in the story, but you know, when they brought in Angela into the hospital, no one knew who she was, but one of these nurses had seen her
Yeah,
going
seen
into
her
Victor's room
visiting.
before. Otherwise, yeah, why would you grab him? So.
So she brings him to Angie's room, and the doctor who almost got choke slammed is in there. He's like, oh, geez, Angela.
He's so upset,
Yahoo.
his face gets twice as broad as it normally should.
Right. It kind of looks like Rocky or something. And then I guess we cut back to Tenzin at the bedside. He's kind of unshaven and haggard looking, as if it's been a little while. I don't remember if he was unshaven in the last issue. I probably should have checked. And he's just kind of recapping a little bit what happened last time. He's like, Angela, what happened? It was Quill. Somehow, when we showed the cemetery personnel Quill's picture, they identified him as one of the corpses they found. It came down to you versus Quill, didn't it? And somehow, against all reasonable odds, you survived. More than that, you won. And where was your father, the more experienced warrior, cooling his heels at a train station, waiting long past the appointed midnight hour for your captor to appear? Finally, as the morning commuters flowed onto the platform, your monologue's a little boring today. I left,
Oh, I
feeling.
waited at a train for a while. No, wait, let me tell you more details.
There was a Hershey wrapper blowing in the breeze.
Rat was struggling with a slice of pizza. Watched that rat for like 3 hours. Thinking about you all the time, Angela. All the time.
He's like, I began the long trip back to the headquarters, the 7-story building that looks like it was drawn by a child. So I guess we're like cutting back. He's telling the story of him finally finding out that what happened to Angela. Honestly, I think this comic could do for just being chronological.
Yeah, we sort of slip back another day
There's
and
not,
then go forward again.
yeah,
Yeah.
like there's nothing is gained by flipping around like this, I guess. So it's Updike in his office, and probably the only interesting part is like he gets a call, and he's like, "This is Updike." He's like, "Oh, cripes! What do you want, Babel?" of the Medusa web. It's like, forget it. We don't loan our people out, especially to the Medusa web. And he hangs up on him.
He said the word.
Something is happening.
Hey, Babel, do you speak dibe dibol dibuch?
What?
What?
Anyway, so this is Justice walking into the office before he knows anything about what happened to Angela. And, Pasco calls the office and they're about to ignore him, but then, he tells them that Angela's in the hospital and then she looks bad. Tenzin basically goes then to her bedside. And she says, she's got some cuts and bruises. Yeah, but it's clearly in some sort of deep shock. And he's still talk Tenzin talking to the doctor. He's like, it's obvious, but how do we bring her out of it? He's like, these things take time. We'd like to keep her here a few days for observation, at least until her injuries heal. And Justice basically decides he's not leaving, right? So he's doing the like, I'm gonna stay by her bedside no matter what, regardless of guards or whatever. And then he kind of gets interesting. He says, it's a punishment, And Updike says, pardon? Justice's eyes disappear into like a weird Play-Doh mask of a man. Well, it's just the art, never mind.
I was trying to remember what this reminds me of. I never did quite figure it out, but
They're going
it's
for a shadowed look, but it just doesn't work. He says, I was thinking of turning back my back on my holy mission to judge paranormals. Angela made me doubt. So he became angry and he struck down Angela to remind me who's in charge. Like, you better get some sleep, dude. And he says, we'll make sure we got somebody nearby at all times. So Justice stays by her side, like two more guys in lab coats, orderlies, doctors.
orderlies, I was thinking.
Yeah, do we still have orderlies? I don't think that job exists anymore.
I don't know. There's people who will push around your bed while you're on it to get you to different places, but I don't remember. Like security guards are look like security guards like in any building, so I don't know.
Yeah. So I guess this is
Or
another
like.
time jump, though, because they're mad because he assaulted the doctor. Or no.
So yeah, this is right after the first couple pages. Yeah. So he's been there for, I don't know, a day or two. He's pissing off everyone as he yeah. So this is after choking out the doctor on the first page.
Okay, because then they flash back to him yelling at another doctor.
Oh,
It's
you're
just.
right. Yeah. Why is that?
He
Yeah.
basically like uses his shield to like shove these guys out of the room.
I like it. He starts to explain. He never looked at my daughter. Like, come on, dude.
So anyway, so like
Just.
he's thinking then at Angie's side, thinking back to when another doctor came in with like medical students.
Oh, yeah. It says, especially when I first came here to care for you. So
So he's
this is
assaulted
like right
two.
after Tense or Terrence Updike left, maybe, because he's still in his uniform.
Yeah.
Wow. He just jumped forward and then back for no reason.
No
What
reason.
is that?
And he yells at the doctor and calls him a quack for no reason either. He's like, this is my child, not a midterm.
Yeah, it's a
And
teaching hospital, so a guy comes in and they got some
yeah.
residents, I guess, and they, do something, hey, what's you guys' analysis and whatever the hell that is. You all watched ER for 10 years. I've forgotten, but.
Right. But then he says, the doctor's like, sir, how do you expect my people to learn? And he says, I'll teach them. Lesson one, never annoy me. And then he zaps something totally unrecognizable. And then it's either like a hole in the wall into the sky or just a pile of ash in the wall. Like, I really don't know what's going on in those.
It's very
At first, I thought he blew a
mysterious.
hole in the wall and then you could see the sky, but I think it's just like a burn mark on the wall and a smoking pile of ash.
Yeah, I couldn't see like
Something.
a chair or something that he had, burned. He did
Yeah.
things like that before, but I mean, you can't see anything. You can't tell what's going on at all there.
Yeah, remember that weird device on the floor in Psi-Forest when she was fighting that Shvoitnaya
Oh,
yak
right.
lady? Like maybe he zapped that thing. It's like
I've heard Psi forces around. I gotta ward
something
up here.
something from the Hall of Unrecognizable Items. But he's like supposed to be upset, but he's also zinging these guys. He's like, "It's not a midterm. I'll teach you blue book exams in 2 weeks." And that's kind of shit.
I mean, at what point are we annoyed with Justice for, acting this way to like fit pretty much every character who comes into contact with him?
Right.
I
And
mean, he's always a little touchy, but
yeah. So Pasco comes in. He was totally wrecked before. Now he's just in a wheelchair with like a foot cast. He's like talking about how Angela was the only girl I ever met who was nice to me, because his voice gets funky around paranormals because he gets allergic. And then like they even fail at the split face thing they're trying to do with Justice and Pasco because like the nose doesn't line up and there's no reason for it.
they shouldn't look alike. I mean,
Right.
okay.
But anyway,
The
so like me.
flashback of the Rod Stveau Psyhawk.
Right. Which you can kind of make out Psyhawk, but not really Rod Stveau, doesn't look like much. But yeah, he basically just comes in to remind them of that. And Justice is thinking is says, "Yes, Angela wanted me to get those two nuts for causing you injury. She was furious. She's very fond of you." She's like, "Maybe so, but she wanted revenge? Really? That doesn't sound like her." And then we get like, scary shadow Justice, and it's like, "Victor, that's it. That's it. It didn't sound like her. It sounded like someone else. He was speaking to me through her, demanding holy vengeance. And when I balked, hey, wasn't that the issue
Issue two, Merc.
of
Yes.
Marquez and Merc?" It says, "He did this to Angela. But if I get those two nuts, then he'll make Angela okay." Okay, he's totally gone crazy. "Victor, I'll
Are
be
you...
back later, much later."
Who's
"Where are you going?" Oh.
the he you're talking about? He points up. Someone upstairs? That's the psych ward. Justice then get continues. If you weren't like worried enough about him enough. Could he be insane? Makes sense. We're created in his image, after all.
Maybe the next issue we're gonna go like full fourth wall and like, Justice is gonna meet Peter David as God character or something.
It's time you explained yourself. Am I the only one who like they when Victor is talking at first, I thought he was saying nudes. Figures those two nudes would wreck it up.
Oh, because NUDS is supposed to be nuts, but yeah.
I don't know. I luckily Rod Stveau had his pants on, and so did Psylocke. But
Well, I mean, sort of. Did
kind of
they give
anyway.
Rod Sval pants in like one image or something? I feel
Yeah.
like there's like a mistake there that seems familiar. So Justice goes back to NSC, which apparently has a pool or something built into the headquarters.
Sure, why not?
It's full on pool. It's like we're spending a ton of money on pool maintenance staff here, but. With this weird scene where basically so the Updike is just saying, "Yeah, well, Roth, we don't know where Rothvau is. We've got domestic concerns." He mentions New York, which again we've been like hinting towards a lot of things going on in New York, including like problems with pit pollution.
Yeah, I
And
wondered if this was also Voight, though.
oh, yeah, it could be. Yeah, spying on the Voight.
I don't know.
Yeah. And Justice is like, "I want Rod Stveau, Updike. I don't care how you arrange it, but I want him. Psyhawk may already be dead, but Rod Stveau screams for justice." Since when did they know what the name of Psyhawk is one of my questions. Like, I think that just magically happened. But yeah, basically, when Updike's not buying it, he says, "The only way you could do that is dealing with the Medusa web, but we're not going to do that." And so he sticks his sword hand in the pool and starts heating it up, which I didn't know that's how that worked, but maybe it is now. And so it basically threatens to boil the guy alive until he, cedes and says, all right, you win. They called me the other day, conveniently for the plot, but I'll contact them. And in the end, he's like, maybe I'll be lucky and he'll fry the Medusa web, or maybe I'll really luck out and he won't come back at all. Ugh.
I know justice is pretty strong, but the amount of thermal energy you would need to heat a pool,
It's crazy,
that's,
yeah.
yeah. You could do that's a good like Gen Chem exam question for you.
That's true. That was a good one, yeah. My poor students would struggle because
But
they can
why would
barely.
someone have a hand that was hot? I don't get it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that and like the it's basically, I forget if I mentioned it last time, but it'd be basically impossible for someone buried in a grave to push their way out by the weight of all that soil. Like it's just,
Really?
yeah, it's just literally impossible. Especially
Well,
if you're a zombie.
it's a well, I don't want to get into the cemetery situation.
Right. So back to Justice at the bedside, which I'm assuming is in real time now. And he's just sitting with Angela. He's like, Angela, please, if you can hear me, please just make a fist or raise your hand. Anything. And she doesn't move at all. And he kind of hangs his head. And then we get to, true to his word, Updike arranged for a meeting between representatives of the information gathering Medusa Web. Their arrival was earth-shaking. Do we remember this guy, the tubby guy on the couch? Was he
Yeah.
introduced like ever briefly, like a Hawaiian dude or something?
That's right, Leoloa, and they
Yeah.
called him Shudderbug.
Yeah.
He it was like the yeah, in the middle issue of this Quill whatever storyline. And because I was like looking back at the last issue, I was like, how come this guy never showed up again? You
Yeah,
know?
I never did. He's still sitting in the same spot reading like maybe a real book or a magazine or something instead of a comic book, but
Surely this will be the answer to the Quill dilemma. No, he had
no.
nothing to do with it.
Oh shoot, I didn't write down the guy's name, so it's Troublemaker
And imprint.
Imprint, yeah.
Imprint is again not an albino.
No, maybe.
At least not in this one.
That's one. So Troublemaker walks in and he's like, you're the second fattest slob old Troublemaker's ever laid his eyes on. Imagine he's referring to, was it Tucci or something? Is that the guy's
That's
name?
the
From
one,
Medusa Web,
right.
yeah. Who's now Gorbachev, if we ever pick up on that thread.
Not yet, but hope springs eternal.
Yeah. He like pokes the guy in the belly. It's like you're working on becoming number one. If you ever get off that fat butt. And so he kind of walks off, and then we get this huge, like, ground-shaking burp. And the guy's like, oh, sorry, probably a munchkin disagreed with me. And Troublemaker is like super hot, but Babel's there, and he holds him back. He's like, come along, we mustn't keep Justice waiting. And he throws in a couple of fat jokes. He's like, not now, be nice. Inside each fat person is a thin person trying to get out. This is Babel. And then he says, yeah, he probably ate him. Everybody's a comedian. He's reading like a movie magazine, something
I couldn't
superhero-y.
quite figure out if that was something I should recognize, like a magazine or a book. No, it
Yeah.
doesn't ring a bell.
Maybe
But it
not.
looks like sort of comic booky, right?
Yeah, like a superhero movie or something.
Yeah, weird.
But anyway. So Babel Imprint and Troublemaker are there with Justice, who's kind of looking haggard, and Updike. And Troublemaker is a troublemaker, I guess. He's like, this slob, he smells like he hasn't washed in a year. He's like, need I remind you, this is a friendly meeting. He's like, friendly, come on, Babel. You brought me here for protection to this friendly meeting.
You brought Troublemaker? Really? That's the best you could do?
Right.
Him and Imprint? What's
Yeah.
Imprint gonna do? Take a video of it?
He might. Well,
Sheesh.
He would be good for meetings because then he'll remember all the details, right?
I guess.
And Troublemaker went toe to toe with like Boyd, right? So he's pretty good. Anyway. But basically he just annoys Justice, who like does the I think he did this before, but he like sends little tiny shields into the guy's throat to kind of choke him.
That's what he did with Seraph, I think, at the to get him off. I don't think it should be your first move there, Justice. It's kind
No,
of
probably not.
gross. I don't know.
Which of course just pisses off Troublemaker until Babel's like, Troublemaker, every step you take towards Mr. Tenson will cost you $1,000. And then we get a, this isn't over, Whitey. Okay. He says, no, it's
Updike
just
also had a
begun.
good one. You wanted these people's cooperation. They won't give you any if you kill one of them. Point taken.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good. Then Justice shows his true power by
Lighting a pipe.
true. Glad we came all this way for this guy. Okay,
Yeah.
that's
Remember when we used to keep the kill count? Because there was always some exciting stuff going on, and like people were getting
exciting stuff
vaporized
indeed.
instead of just vaporizing some random piece of mystery hospital furniture and talking all day.
Yeah, threatening. I mean, yeah, that's yeah. Good times, good
Good
times.
times, good times. But yeah, so Babel's like, well, your desire to track down Rotzvow is timed rather well. We could use your strength in breaking out Psi-Force.
Woo.
Nobody calls them. The only ones who have prayer of taking on this that cosmic madman. It's
Thanos, what?
like Psi-Force. Yes. Psi-Force, but they're dead, aren't they? I mean, Psi-Hawk is. It's like Psi-Hawk may indeed be dead, but his its component members are alive. But prisoners, we need help. Heavy duty help, such as Justice here, to get them out. Let's just keep talking about it and let us instead of showing us any of the fun action that I was hoping for. And well, Updike's like, we'll have to let you know, and Justice just looks like a sad marshmallow or sad Mike Pence. And it's like, I'm in. And Babel's like, excellent. We'll arrange for transport. You'll have time to change. Make yourself presentable. He's like, of course, wouldn't. And Updike says, of course, wouldn't want to look untidy for your own funeral. Ooh, scary. But yeah, so Justice goes back to Angela's bedside. She's just still there, kind of staring at the ceiling. He's like, I finally saw one sign of recovery. Just move your hand an inch, anything. Let me know that it's not God talking to me through you, telling me to do this crossover, and I'll cancel it. We'll just finish a different story. Maybe the mystery guy who hired Quill will do him instead. But no, he kisses her on the head. He's like, I know that he will be watching over you. And even if you can't hold my hand, I leave you knowing that he will be keeping you in his. Then her hand moves just a little bit. We get to be continued in Psi-Force number 29. All right, so let me lead off by asking you, is this the worst New Universe comic ever in the entire run so far, or just maybe land in the pile of like really bad issues of Merc?
Definitely reminds me of both some weak the back end of Merc, but unfortunately this comes really close to that Psi-Force 28, which was also sort of not encouraging in terms of having a new regular penciler that we were concerned about.
At least that had a story, though. Like there was action and like progress. Like things were happening. Like in theory, having Kathy show down against the Russian paranormals is kind of a good, an interesting and fun idea. If it's just not drawn well.
Yeah, I was I just came across some like Rob Liefeld advice with that using the 777 outline of having 7 pages of like action showing your
Yeah.
character's powers, seven of interactions and drama and all that kind of stuff, and then 7 pages of fight. And that probably, would, do okay with that. There was like the workout, there is kind of, in, the behind the scenes stuff going on, and then there was a big fight at the end. So yeah,
You're
okay.
talking about the Psi-Force, yeah.
The Psi-Force. This was did not, yes.
And he learned that from who?
Rob Liefeld.
No, Rob Life, he credits that to Jim Shooter.
I think you're right, yes. He said Shooter, as he was at the feet of the master, I think. Yeah, I just going through this time, I finally realized that like he's in those sort of Justice is in that street outfit that he's in on the first page, and then at the last couple pages, like that's him getting ready to go on this mission. Like he's not going to take his cool purple trench coat.
Gotcha, yeah. Yeah, because he made kind of a big deal of trench coating up for the last one, even though,
And
it
did
was
not
kind of
have
like
any
it was
action.
kind of like a clever fake out, right? Like we were expecting the showdown, but never got the showdown.
Yeah,
Yeah, but
it's
even like the first splash page, which is, the kind of okay drawn, but like the whole back wall of the hospital room is just like a white blank, and there's all these big panels of nothing, which just makes me feel like, we got to get this done really quick.
Yeah, so I don't know if this is gonna be like the regular from here on out or what, or this perhaps this storyline kind of caught them up. Weeks had done an extra long issue last issue, so I don't know. But you're right, a lot of stuff is sort of skimped through. And it's, I don't know, it feels also like the thing where Justice, when he was captured and he was hallucinating for a couple of issues, it's like whenever you want justice for something, he starts like tripping out on you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He the you know, he comes across even more abrasive than usual, which is kind of, difficult, but they manage. The not being part of the climax in the last issue was okay from the reader's point of view, but really messed him up. And I don't know, I'm a little troubled by like whenever you become more religious, it's like obviously your
You're
mental
crazy
condition
again,
is whatever. Like I think it's a yeah, it's weirdly, again, it's like set up for a story that's not even going to be in your own book or something. You know what I mean? The Psi-Force is already well underway. This is not the Siberian Project Part 3. It's just a sideline to that.
And honestly,
So
like, if you were going to do this, like, okay, we need to send Justice over to Psi-Force, we got a plan for that, then maybe the conflict could be like he wants to track down who sent Quill, but the NSC needs him, or the Medusa web entraps him to drop him into Siberia to solve this problem, kind of thing, rather than just like, oh yeah, remember these guys and Angie didn't like them. Like that means message from
yeah.
God now. And like, okay, that's a stretch, buddy. Because
Yeah.
it does kind of tie into like he had his mission to destroy renegade paranormals kind of things. So it kind of works in that sense, but they don't set it up at all well, like he's not talking about paranormals out of control. He's talking about, God spoke through my daughter, which doesn't really work because it just doesn't make sense because he's remembering something she said a while back instead of like there wasn't some moment.
Yeah, if like the dead cat had started telling him to go wreak vengeance on Rothschild, maybe that would have been,
Right.
I don't know.
Or like she says something in her stupor and he interprets it wrong, or I
Oh,
don't know.
yeah. A
It's
lot of ways this could have been, worked that might have been more satisfying. This feels, I don't know if it's feels like a first draft or just like the whole thing was kind of off on the wrong foot. I don't know. The crossover elements again are like, remember when DP7 showed up in this and it was kind of, okay, I recognize them, but
It didn't quite feel right.
yeah. So the Cyphor, the Medusa Webb feels a bit like that. Like Troublemaker is a jerk, but he's like a kind of over the top jerk this time.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's just like if Scuzz walked into the room, it's like, I'm Scuzz, I burn things, I'm a bad teen, burning stuff, yeah, acid burn.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Subtle.
Part of the idea of a realistic universe is that you don't just have like one note characters. Yeah.
Right.
So, I'm not, yeah.
It's such a downer too, man, because there's like that, like we were kind of mixed on Justice heading into 27. Like 27 was kind of like, oh man, okay, that was good. Like some great payoff and great art, and then it's just like fell on its face.
Yeah, it definitely did not hold up from our highs in the last issue. Maybe that makes it a little more painful, but I think I'm just honestly concerned with this and Cyforce both, having issues this month. Kind of worried that this is like that they are going to not like try to go out on a, let's wrap everything up, or let's, make the most exciting crossover you can to finish this these series off. It's more like, oh, let's phone it in for the next couple months and call it a day.
Yeah,
So
it is a bad trend.
I'm a little concerned. I mean, it's we're 4 issues away from each.
Right. And you figure this Cyphor stuff, I mean, it's definitely eating up next issue, but I would have a hard time imagining it wasn't like the next two. So.
Yeah, it, let's assume at least the next issue will be Justice along on the Cyforce thing. But because let's see, Justice, let's see, Cyforce was has done 2 issues of their 4-parter,
Right.
so they could finish up, and it's just one more Justice in the middle there. Okay, so between 3 and 4 instead of 2 and 3, which is the, what this is. Anyway,
Something is happening. I'm
yeah,
100%
again,
comfortable with.
the NSC folks, Terrence Updike, I mean, if he's like, I don't know, he,
He's like a doormat. Yeah, he's just like a
yeah,
total.
he should be like, like Philip Roth or whatever that guy was,
Right.
kind of a sketchy jerk.
Right.
I
How
don't
in the
know.
world is this guy managing a team of paranormals, you know? But I guess, I mean, the one guy just lays on the couch all day and he got creeping crud killed on his first day and.
It's so I don't know. Is Peter David a going to bring it home? I guess we'll see.
We'll find out.
Now I mean, talented writing, the art can be kicked up a notch, but it shouldn't be this, messed up. I don't know.
Yeah. Messed up and boring and poorly executed. Right, I mean.
So, do we say nuking for the pits?
The deepest depths of the pits. This is like down in the bottom of the pit juice. Yeah, nothing good will
I
happen
will at
here.
least concur on the pits.
This is like the star baby drinking pit juice from a from a bottle and throwing it up, and that's this comic.
Oh, man. I don't want to overdo it, but
I totally am overdoing it for dramatic effect. No, it was bad. I read this thing. I was like, oh, this is bad.
yeah, we've had a long like we started putting off our schedule for this.
Yeah,
You want to talk about Justice this week? No. No, not today. No. I'm
I'm
having I'm
sure.
out enjoying life. I can't do with this t today.
I'm sure the backup will redeem it, right?
What should I give it? Like a Should we get into the D's? I don't know.
I've given Fs before. I feel like this qualifies.
I'll give a D then. I don't know why it's like it's more like visceral than like point by point, but
Yeah.
anyway, let's jump on in to the backup story. The backup story will definitely redeem this issue.
Is it Night Mask?
Is Night Mask back? No, he's not back in this issue. This is a backup story entitled The Travest Termination.
Wonder what's going to happen.
Wow. Way to just put it right out there on the front page. Yeah, I don't know, it's a little too on the nose. Like I've seen I would there's like a book called, the Such and Such Sanction, or something like that. Maybe would have been a little more
We are
mysterious.
going to kill this guy by Fabian Nicieza.
So it is, yeah, they have a little fun with their credits, but it is by Fabian Nicieza. Don Hudson, penciler, Mike Gustavich, again, inking, and the other rest of the team. It opens up with a truck leaving Fort St. James Correctional Institute, which I did not look up, but
No.
seems to be a prison in British Columbia, Canada, where we last left Jake Travis after issue 20
Yeah,
of
sounds about
Psi-Force,
right. Yeah.
where he was you driving riding driving the Max armor and attacking Wayne and Lindsay in Vancouver, British Columbia. So he has been imprisoned ever since, and we have a couple of guys in a truck that is heading out of this prison talking about how the road has been cleared for so many miles. Yep, it seems we got an important prisoner back there. Wonder what he did to get such tight security. Heard he may be an American spy. Well, and why do you ask? Oh, no reason. They're like immediately confronted with a helicopter. Stop the van immediately. Cooperate, and no one will be hurt.
Security is so tight that two guys in ties and no armed guards are carrying this guy.
Truly
They don't even
yeah.
seem to be armed.
It's like a Secret Service fine. Never mind. The there's a note at the bottom, like that says Medusa Web Assignment 45G, Mission Operatives, Potifar, Troublemaker, Skybreaker, Dust Off, Mission Objective, Acquisition of the Man Amplified Armor Schematics from Current Location. Incarcerated CIA operative Jacob Travis will be required for said procurement. And there's a thing at the top, Theta Kappa Sigma, which I thought at first might be like Babel's initials, like his name is Thame or something, and so like his Greek name, maybe that would be. It's not. No, his last name is Papadopoulos or something, and the Sigma doesn't match that. So.
And what's the man amplified armor? Ma, MAA? It's MAX. They're so close. Like they didn't call it Spitfire, which is great, but then they messed up the name anyway. Masters of information, they be.
Oh, they have all the best information. This is an intelligence service that's saying this, so we're supposed to be impressed with these guys. Okay, so that was the little splash. We flip on in, and we've got Troublemaker jumping out of that chopper, and Skybreaker, who's flying by. He seems to be carrying like a stick or a staff, I think,
Yeah, for some reason.
for some reason. So he's got the wings and that sort of death's head mask that was in his official handbook page, but I don't remember from his appearance before.
Yeah.
So Troublemaker is like, let's do it. And they all jump down there, and I guess they try to make Troublemaker look interesting by having him always sort of bending at weird angles. So,
Right. Apparently also strong enough to rip the doors off of a van.
yeah, we
Even
hadn't
though
seen super
enhanced
strength from him
strength is
before.
not his thing.
So Potiphar lands on the roof of this van and puts like I couldn't tell if it was gas or like a foam through the roof into the cab of the van. So the two drivers seem to be making a run for it. Skybreaker clocks them with his stick, maybe. And as Troublemaker rips the back off the back door off, he says, "You better be Jake Travis, or I'll feel sillier than we look." He is indeed Jake Travis. Yeah, I'm Travis. Been locked up in ISO since February. Seems I can't shut up. Gotta tell everyone what happened to me. Now they don't do like a run-on balloon with all of this. It actually looks pretty normal.
Yeah.
So you
Actually, this is
see.
like the one image of him on 25 too that like looks like a nice drawing of Jake Travis to them. From there on in, it just gets kind of weird.
Yeah, it's a decent profile looking the Troublemaker on in that same panel.
Yeah, a little iffy,
Troublemaker's wearing like a tracksuit and
that says track on it.
earphone, what do you call it? Like a headset. That's it, a
Yeah.
headset.
Which she didn't
So
have on earlier.
not his thing, no. Travis continues, "You see, I was an op for the CIA, a special division not many people even knew about." And he starts going on about the Max armor. Or as he calls it, the Spitfire armor. "I was given the Spitfire armor after our first op failed to cut the mustard." That would be Jenny Swenson, our beloved Spitfire. "I was sent here to stop some renegade paranormal kids who were causing some trouble." The kids were causing trouble by staying at a hotel.
Yep.
"And I sort of screwed up. I lost. Oh, it's Psi-Force 21. One of them, that would be Wayne, made me start talking the minute I got nabbed, and I did. And I have ever since. Talking, I mean, I can't seem to shut up about what happened. It's like I got to tell everyone." Troublemaker is just kind of looking at him. And Miss Travis kind of keeps going. The three Medusa Web guys are hanging back, kind of making faces at each other, and Troublemaker says, "You'll get your chance, Pody, with my blessings. Just have patience, please."
I really like the look. I never noticed it, but I really like the look of Skybreaker in that one, where you can kind of see his eyes looking to the side, like, huh? But he's got this like totally menacing mask on otherwise. That
It's a good
almost
look.
redeems this backup story.
Almost. So, let's see. They head
And
towards the
Potiphar's shirt says "Death and Taxes" on it, at the bottom of 25.
okay. So let's see. They head towards the helicopter to take off, and Jake Travis keeps going, "You guys are really rescuing me? Was it Roth who sent you or Browning?" "It was both." And Troublemaker thinks to himself, "Neither, actually. The Medusa web works for itself." That was Roth was the CIA chief, and Mac Browning, of course, from Pitt.
Number one murderer of civilians.
Oh, they must be working together now. They say, "Dust off, get us out of here." Dust off is the helicopter pilot, apparently, who has a helmet that says, "Make war, not love." This is his only appearance in the story,
He
so.
also apparently pilots just a flying chair in the middle of nowhere, right? This is like you see the helicopter, and it looks like people are getting in it, but then like the images in it.
It's
Like
like
there's
the
no
TARDIS, yeah.
background at all.
Infinite space,
Yeah,
yes.
that's weird.
We get another somewhat less successful drawing of Jake Travis in the middle of 26 there that kind of stuck in my mind.
Yeah, it's not the worst.
Becomes a bit cartoonish, I don't know. Anyway, he notices right away, "Wait, this we're flying northwest. Isn't the United States southeast?" Potiphar thinking to himself, "Please let me do it now." And Troublemaker salvages the situation. "Good observation, Jake. You see, we found where the Canadian government's been keeping your Spitfire armor. There we go again. And we're going to go to get it back? Exactly, Skybreaker, old sod.
Okay.
Okay. Oh, it's Skybreaker's turn. He has to... he takes off and attacks this guard station and bombs it, basically. And then he crashes through a window into this large warehouse type thing.
So he
the
hits
helicopter
the
shoots out.
van guy. He kill, hits him with a stick. So it kind of looks like they're intentionally not trying to kill these guys. But then he just totally blows up the guard post.
Yeah.
Which is like the only guy in the whole building.
I guess. My part I enjoyed was where the helicopter sends out a line perpendicular to the ground. It's like, I'm not quite sure how, like, you usually kind of rappel down those things, right? Into the, I don't know, for some
there's
reason.
a poofed, like it's launching it or something, but you can't really even see the line. It's kind of lost, so.
So anyway, the three operatives and Travis get into the broken window at the and they're sort of on a balcony level. Hey guys, it's down here. I see it. And the others are talking to themselves. I thought this guy was supposed to be a pro. Well, he's a diagnosed schizo on top of having been mind mucked by Tucker on top of spending 4 months in ISO. And Jake runs down some stairs. It looks like it's all here. Here's the Spitfire armor. Sorry, Max armor. I hate that. Which is now, again, like 20 feet tall. So he is below the waist level.
Yeah, head to crotch height.
And he's super excited. Once I find the schematic program hidden in the suit, we'll be able to piece it back together again. No way they could have found it. We put it in there in the first place, so the suit had problems, so they could just fix it and complete the mission. And so this... The others are like, so this disc has the entire suit's specs? Down when I had that breakfast that morning. Oh, that'll be great. Snake rummages around in the armor and then brings up one of the 1980s classic floppy disks. I found it!
Just barely enough information, like storage, data storage to hold a computer game on there.
Yeah, this little baby's our ticket out of here, and I'm a little confused by how this works. The he then flips it in the air and Potiphar shoots at it, which...
I thought it looks like he shoots it out of his hand, though somehow not injuring either his hand or the disc.
I guess that's why I found it confusing then, yeah. That does work, I guess. But yeah, Troublemaker snags it. Got it, let's book. Dusty, three coming out. Travis is concerned. Three, what about me? Sorry, pal, but you were deemed expendable, so we're putting you out of our misery. The helicopter is then flying away as the whole warehouse is exploding. Coom toom.
Is there anywhere in the art where, like, something caused that explosion? Like, we don't see him setting up a bomb or anything. The helicopter's pointed in the wrong direction to shoot at it, and it doesn't have any weapons.
We have another one of these little notes in the corner. Medusa Web assignment. Report. Assignment completed. Mission successful. Travis terminated. All connections to Web blanketed. The Web now has the capability to build Max armors. The end.
Hmm. I mean, that's kind of interesting.
So, I mean, that does make, you know, bring up a point that we did, I think, discussed before. The armors are reproducible. So right. If you've got a bunch of paranormals and you know, people are getting militarized, building more Max armors is a great step.
Right. It kind of defeats the purpose of the original. Like, this was such an amazing bit of technology that could never be copied. But
we weren't doing
just
anything
made
with
Mark
it anyway.
II, and it was better anyway. So.
Yeah, so the Russians had one for a bit. The club was selling it. We haven't gotten back to that. Maybe the Medusa web is the club. I don't know.
Wonder what happened to the third Max armor. Like, where'd that go? It was like the person-sized one from that weird, like it was like the final issue of Spitfire.
Course, it's a dream. Yeah,
Yeah.
that was unreproducible. The Willie or whoever it was feeding Jenny a bunch of hallucinogenics, and they never really went anywhere. Anyway, that's my theory.
Not that this really matters in like a really poorly drawn book, but it's funny when they pan away from the building exploding, then the guard post is just like totally fine in the
Oh,
bottom there,
yeah, you're right. That's
including the
the.
sign that says stop kind of thing. Also, the fence guards nothing, right? Like you could just, I don't know, like
Walk around it,
it
yeah.
doesn't make any sense.
It's also, I think the sign's facing the wrong way there. Like you'd be
Yeah.
coming down the road past the warehouse and then you'd see the guard. Yeah, this is even rougher than some of the other backups we've seen. From
Wronged by
what I call
children.
the border guard crew, it's like the Marvel bullpen, but it was all the guys who like drew themselves into that story where shrapnel was
Yeah.
getting stopped by the border guards in Canada. Yeah, I've said before, I hate seeing characters killed, especially in the new universe where there's no like magic, coming back from that one. Travis, I mean, what was the point of that? Travis was already in jail somewhere. Truly a character who never got whatever it was that he was invented for in the first place.
Yeah, he
Ooh, he's a
was
schizo. He's
a little
crazy. He could do anything. He does nothing.
weird.
And,
Yeah, like they lost like the nice guy side of him to a degree, like which showed up a little bit in Spitfire. Like we never really got back to that. And then he was like totally like militant in the Cyforce, and then here he's just a joke. So it's just kind of, I mean, yeah, okay.
yeah.
It's kind of hard to like
Potiphar.
have a death of a character in such a goofy backup story too. Like he dies in like a Wile E. Coyote Acme looking explosion.
This
It's like
is why, honestly, I would, again, I always say if you don't see a body, then I'm not going to, count it. But I mean, he's supposedly a CIA operative. These guys like go out the window or whatever. Okay, he sneaks out the back before they get the bomb goes off or something. I don't know.
yeah.
But
Or wouldn't it be cooler if like he gave him a little bit of a run for his money? Like let the guy go out on a high note. Like he's got no paranormal powers, but he's got all this training and he's a little unpredictable. So like, he roughs up a couple of them and they just barely get out of there and that
he
kind of
gives him the
thing.
wrong disc or something. Yeah,
Yeah.
I don't
Where he
know.
grabs like one of the fists of the Max armor and uses it like the strong arms or something. Give me
There
something.
we go. Yeah, there we go. Yeah.
Instead of just
That's
acting like a doof.
it's hardly, I mean, there was this violates several suggestions for good storytelling. Again, weird when, the Nisieza he had not invented Travis, but he had like he had written like a couple of issues of Codename Spitfire and was seemed to be invested in sort of that redesign of the team.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Poor story, poorly told. Two
Yes.
for two.
Two for
Oh,
two.
for two.
Two for two in the crapometer.
Unfortunate. So let's see. Let's see what we had in things to chat about this week. Any let's see. We had a couple more house ads.
Yeah, Captain Britain and
I don't really remember this. I
I guess it's a collection. Like,
Yeah, it must be
get them from there.
collecting some of the British, the Marvel UK original Captain Britain stories. This is one of those things that I never saw, but would hear about because, like, Excalibur starts up and it's like, here's these characters, and you're like supposed to recognize them, except they were published in another country.
Yeah.
Okay. And so, yeah, I guess they had published the trade paperback of those adventures, but I
Afterwards, at
certainly
least.
missed it. Yeah, completely.
We get two ads for the Havoc and Wolverine meltdown because it's like in the comic and
Oh,
the
you're
Havoc
right.
cover. It's kind of
Yeah.
weird that it's an epic comics too, even though it's obviously Marvel characters.
Yeah, what was that Elektra Assassin, remember, with Bill
Oh, that's
Sienkiewicz?
true, yeah.
So they were
That was the
allowed to
early.
take, you know, give do a m mature audience kind of version of these things, I guess.
Right.
Do you ever re remember reading that?
I started reading it, but like I didn't really get into it, like the first couple, and it was so strange. Which I imagine it was trying to be interesting, but it just didn't grab me. So I think I made it like 3 or 4 issues in and quit.
I think I only made the first issue and
Yeah.
lost interest.
It released, I think, issue 1 or 2, like was in the New Universe month. So it was like right when Starbrand was launching.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
The artists, I mean, I remember liking stuff by Muth and Kent Williams very much, so I really like that very painterly that painterly style. Yeah, I think we covered most of the stuff that's in the official timeline of the new universe, and the Rodney Ramis profile. The on sale this month, last week actually, there was some out of date covers in the DP sevens. What's going on this month? These are all the current m month's issues,
Yeah, they got it
so.
right this time.
No problems with that. So let's see. We had this week, Justice comes out the same week as Marvel Age, and this was actually something I'd missed. It is last month's Marvel Age number 70 that had a interesting. I'm using little hand quotey marks now.
Right. Remember, we're an audio-only podcast.
Why don't we get the. Oh, the camera also is terrible. Okay, never
Yes.
mind. There was a John Byrne interview in Marvel Age 70, and he talks a lot about starting in West Coast Avengers and Savage She-Hulk, both of which are, you know, probably good efforts on his behalf. But there is a paragraph. What is that it that you enjoy about doing about? Sorry, what is it that you enjoy about doing the Star Brand?
I get to make fun of Jim Shooter.
It's just fun to have a universe that's so messed up and to have a power like the Star Brand that can be passed around. That way, and that we don't have heroes who are necessarily heroic. They don't have to be traditional heroes. They don't wear costumes. Certainly, it's got nothing to do with the world outside our window anymore, but it's interesting to be playing off something that's screwed up. The worst that Galactus ever did to Earth in the Marvel Universe is something that could be restored pretty quickly. In the new universe, damage is permanent. I'm not sure how much longer I'll be on Starbrand. The initial surge of storylines that I came up with when Howard first asked me to do the book, I originally thought would take 6 issues. Now it looks like I'm going to do 9, so we'll see what happens beyond that. So, yeah, that is issues 11 to 19. I guess were concocted in a flurry of creativity. Again, the quotey mark hands.
Yeah,
So yeah,
that
he
does seem like
is.
it's taken us a long time to get to, it'd be really interesting to see different people with the power, and then it's just has never really been realized until. Oatmeal
It's
guy.
yeah, if it he had sort of done it all quickly, like gone through these in each month and then passed it along to someone else? Could that have salvaged things? I don't know. And let me just make a note. Like I said, this is supposedly came out on the election day, 1988, the election of George H.W. Bush. Very convincing electoral victory over Michael Dukakis. Dukakis was perceived as being sort of unemotional and whatever. Bush was the seen as kind of a preppy, who like an old preppy, I guess, who didn't always make a lot of sense, but he had some good speech writers for a while, so you get those lines like a thousand points of light and all that that kind of stuck with people for a long time.
Read
It's
my
interesting
lips,
looking.
no more taxes, something like that.
Exactly. There's a lot of like the other characters who showed up at the time, they are largely forgotten. I remember people making Dan Quayle jokes for like 20 years after this election, so be careful of the impression you make on people, I guess.
Yeah.
I always think of vice presidents as, having a good record of being elected, but apparently not. It was quite unusual that, but I think Bush was seen as the front runner most of the election. Some of the like people who dropped out without even really competing, you'd recognize names. No, Joe Biden was in there. Al
Okay.
Gore was maybe starting as some interest. Jesse Jackson was a serious contender for some of the in some of the Democratic primary. Not Philip Nolan Voigt, as he was in
No
the New
boy.
Universe.
And yeah, I guess, and this should be publishing this podcast on November 8th. I think that's how it's scheduled, so.
So that'll be a couple days after the 2024 election, which I don't know. I don't know if we'll actually know the winner.
So yeah, I guess,
I
dear viewer, you may know who has been elected. Maybe it's Kennedy and his brain worm. We don't know.
it's
Surprise
possible things
write-in.
have changed again, like in between us recording this and releasing it. So we're trying not to get to whatever, look into the future too much here. Yeah, 88 was a fun. We went back to a couple of Saturday Night Live skits. That's always a good way to look at old politics, or at least before 21st century. It was still pretty like they had good caricatures of the politicians and stuff.
Yeah, I haven't. I mean,
I don't know.
Quaid was pretty
By the
good, like
I'd say the
Bob
Obama
Dole.
years, they kind of lost the
Yeah.
like ability to do funny versions of these
The
politicians.
what was it? The guy who shot the woman on set doing Trump, like he was pretty good. The
All right.
Baldwin Trump. I think that was pretty popular, but I can't remember if I mean, I haven't watched the show, so, but it usually still pops up online if there's something good, but I can't remember if they did a good job making fun of Biden or not. That seems like that would be an easy one, but
I'm amused looking at some of this stuff because these catchphrases that Willie Horton, do you remember that? That was for a long time. He like Dukakis as governor had like a furlough program for prisoners. One of them went out and killed someone or something, and so they're like, oh, not tough on crime, and
yeah.
all this sort of there's Dukakis got a picture of himself riding around in a tank, looked like he was completely overpowered by it. Quayle was blown out in the debate with this old guy who so yeah, you had like Dukakis trying to balance himself with like an older seasoned senator who blew out Quayle but is otherwise kind of not really remembered. To any great degree. Yeah, there's a lot of little catchphrases and things, you know. Jack Kennedy was a friend of mine. Senator, you're no Jack Kennedy. I mean, that resonated for years. I don't know.
But yeah, the Saturday Night Live that you shared and we referenced, it was like the Bush Dukakis debate. Like the end also is pretty funny when the debate's over and like the vice president shows up and it's like a 12-year-old kid.
Yes. Yeah. Bush, like I say, was seen as kind of goofy. I remember he had actually run in the primaries against Reagan in 80. So he was he'd never been elected to very much, but he had stuck around Washington so long that he became a complete insider.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll always remember the like pre-9/11 Bush Gore on Saturday Night Live. They were basically making fun of them and how they were both pretty much the same boring guy. Even to the point where like there was a Futurama episode where like the future presidents was like Jack Johnson versus John Jackson or something like that, and they were like clones of each other, like literally.
Yeah, the I don't know, but
Like that didn't pan out as it turns out. Like that was the last time we got a election like that.
you keep like yeah, the Bush was like I say, people were still in a good mood at that point, I think, and so Bush just kind of rode in on like, I'm the next best thing to being able to keep Reagan around.
Stay the course.
Stay the course, and like 5 minutes later, there's a w new war in the Middle East.
Right.
Really? Okay.
Lee Weeks is pretty good on justice. Stay the course.
Stay the course.
Don't switch right before the end and ruin everything.
So the 88 election in the new universe, Voight looked to be doing pretty well. So I'm assuming that's going to go places.
All hail President Voight.
I guess that'll be about it for this week's episode. Next time, we will continue our regular rotation when the new universe checks in on the teen runaways stuck in Siberia, Psi-Force,
Please be
or as
good.
the
Please be good. Please be good.
Medusa Web calls them, Psi-Force.
I guess we're finally Psi-Force. I mean, redemption time would be if they get the leather jackets, but we'll see. Psi-Force 29. Psi-Force is trapped in Siberia. We already know that. Their only hope of rescue is the malevolent Medusa Web and their new ally, Justice. Written by Fabian Nicieza, penciled by Rodney Ramos, and inked by Chris Ivey. 32 pages. Not even Mando offset paper might save this one. $1.50.
We're hiding it over in direct sales only. Well, until then, you can find us at kickersinc.com. You can always email us newuniversepodcast@gmail.com and ask which part did you unenjoy the most. This has been the voice of the new universe, and we will see you back at the spinner rack.
It's your universe, idiot.
It was only supposed to make a buzzing noise.
I thought I heard a familiar sneeze.
This isn't over, Whitey.
Everybody's a comedian.